Is it time for the bomb squad to end? In this episode, you are going to get a front row seat as I look at the claims that the bomb squad is no longer effective and the time has come to move on. And what's worse, unexpectedly, the call has actually come from one of our own. A fellow South African wrote a piece on Rugby Pass about the merits of the bomb squad. Now, firstly, I'm not going to mention his name because, one, I have actually met him, albeit about 10 years ago, and he seemed a nice enough person. And two, I don't really want to attack a fellow South African, so let's just keep him anonymous. Unless, of course, you have also read the article and you know who I am talking about. And yes, it's okay to disagree. Clearly, in this case, I think he is mistaken. He claims what made the bomb squad so effective back in 2019 was its novelty. And now everyone knows what to expect, and so they are prepared for it. Now, sure, there is merit in that statement, but in many cases, you can be as well prepared as you like, you still have to actually deal with the challenge at hand. We first saw Jonah Lomu, for example, against Ireland at the 1995 Rugby World Cup. Wales saw it, Scotland saw it, and England also saw it. None of those three were able to deal with the challenge Lomu presented. Let's use an example from another sport, cricket. Darryl Cullinan was one of the finest South African batsmen. During his test career, he faced 8 different nations. He averaged more than 40 against 5 of them, more than 49 against half of them, and more than 52 against 3 of them. Clearly, this man could play the game. But he averaged just 12 against Australia. Despite preparing meticulously for Shane Warne in particular, it was a challenge Darryl simply struggled to overcome. And in more of a statistical anomaly than anything else, Cullinan also only averaged 12 against Zimbabwe. So clearly Darryl struggled against the minnows and only really performed against the bigger nations. Our rugby writing countryman does, however, acknowledge that the bomb squad may not be obsolete. So you see, there is still common sense yet in our friend. But he also claims it is no longer the cheat code it once was. Those are his words, by the way. You'll never hear me use the term cheat code outside of this episode. He justifies the post-bomb squad era by saying the Springboks are now entering a new cycle with fresher faces and a more multi-dimensional attack and clinging to old formulas, and that it could stifle growth. He goes on to say a more balanced bench, smarter substitutions, and adaptability might be the next evolution in Dr. Russie Erasmus's playbook. Now, okay, there is again evidence of late that maybe the bomb squad didn't quite have its desired effect. I mean, the whole idea behind it is to send as many fresh forwards on as you can in the second half so that you have the freshest pack available to do battle up front. The term was also originally coined because of the 6-2 split Doc opted for. So some will say if it's the more standard 5-3 split, then it's not really a bomb squad. And if it's 7-1, then it's a nuclear bomb squad. Me personally, I just love the idea of calling our replacements the bomb squad regardless of the split. It's a South African thing. Now I think there were concerns after that first test against Italy. We were beaten at the breakdown by the Italians, and they even outscored us in the second half. Reached in and that cost them body position. Isn't the whole point of the bomb squad to finish matches for us strongly? I mean, that's what actually prompted this article, the fact that we were beaten in the second half by the Azzurri. Because remarkably, that was actually the first time in 14 tests that we were outscored in a second half of a match. The last time we were beaten in the second half of a test was actually the 2023 Rugby World Cup final. Not that that mattered. Just like it counted for nothing against Italy in Pretoria. But let me explain to you why I think writing the obituary of the bomb squad era is premature. In July, and even at times in 2024, Doc often rotated his squad, sometimes more heavily than others, I grant you. So what that has done is it meant that we are fielding inexperienced combinations. traditionally, it was Stephen Kitzhoff, Malcolm Marx, and Vincent Koch, who came on, let's say, charging on as the brand new front row. Well, that has not been the case once since the last World Cup. Injuries and retirements are to thank for that, but also new players. We also saw how well Buan Fenter and Marnus van der Merwe have done, not to mention Wilco Lowe, who was easily behind Frans Malherbe and Koch about a year ago.
Great defence from the Lelos. Quackersmith presents over the line! Buan Fenter!
Then we need to also factor in that the team is changing the way it plays. We commit fewer players at the breakdowns now, for example. Does that negate the excellent work Quagga Smith does in the second half? Possibly. We also are a more enterprising and attacking team. That doesn't mean we now lose second halves, but it does mean we are doing things a little differently. Also worth remembering that Russie sometimes does go 5-3 rather than 6-2.
Williams clears, over the top, and the Fandemarva!
It's tactical, and it's also keeping our opponents on their toes. So there's a lot of variety, which you could also substitute as disruption to structures and systems. Or, put another way, players need to get used to what is being expected of them in the second Erasmus era. And then probably my biggest one here is that unless there is a law change that directly affects the effectiveness of the bomb squad, then I cannot see how it becomes obsolete or a lesser cheat code. Our friend's words, not mine.
Waiting in the pocket now, waiting for that advance from the rolling maul of the Springboks. Jan-Hendrik Wessels, corkscrewing for the line.
I come back to the Lomu example. They all knew he was coming, but there was only one team who actually stopped him. That was us. Similarly, these teams all know our men are coming on somewhere around the 45th minute. And whether Stephen Jones likes it or not, there are few teams that can do anything about it. I foresee our bench playing a vital role in the upcoming rugby championship. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if Doc goes 5-3 in both tests against Australia. But I am very much anticipating a 6-2 against the All Blacks in Auckland at their fortress, Eden Park. To me, that makes all the sense in the world. But what do you think? Do you also think the bomb squad days are numbered and its time is up, as our fellow South African believes? Or do you see it the way that I do, and believe this strategy of ours is as useful to our overall plans as the scrum, line-out and more? Let me know in the comment section down below. And while you're down there, may I also encourage you to sign up on my Patreon page. I would love to do this full time, guys, and go to Australia and cover the Rugby World Cup in 2027 for you from down under with daily coverage. If you sign up, you can get your name mentioned in my videos, you can get discounts on my soon to be launched online merchandise store, and you can also stand a chance to win the new Springbok jersey released earlier this year. You can also stand a chance to win the soon-to-be-released James Small biography. You might also be able to have quarterly Zoom calls with me where we discuss Springbok players, matches and tactics. And you might even be able to get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite player. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Zimbabwean. And if that sounds like something you want to be a part of, then head on over to my Patreon page and sign up right now. And I look forward to your company next time.